Each generation has to discover its mission, and some will fulfill it, other will betray it. And our generation has something to do with the realm of mind. So our today's book is something about cognitive biases. That is something like a self-deceptive thought patterns the brain develop to make sense of the information around the brain. So social scientists has come across a lot of cognitive biases, but we'll talk about the 11 important one that is actually affecting us, corrupting, polluting, and making our thinking blind. So the age of magical overthinking by Amanda Montal, that's our book today. Let's get started. Our mind is deceiving us from the time immemorial. Faced with a lot of information, ancient human tried to find the shortcuts to get sense of the information around it. But as we live in an information exploding generation, our brain or our mind has getting some limitations. So that's what making us into trouble. So those ancient techniques of ancient human is not able to work. It is getting stuck. Sometimes it is making us to overthink and sometimes to underthink in different occasions. The famous author Bell Hooks told that the most basic activism in this world is to live consciously in the world of fantasy. Face the reality around the fantasy world and face the reality without deluding ourselves. The first one is halo effect. It's something like an unconscious tendency of our brain to make assumption on something. Like suppose a person is good at something, like say singing or painting or something. Based on that, we are making an assumption that he'll be good at something else as well. This easily explains a lot of managerial situations where a manager found that the person is good at working and he put them as manager. But that will not work. Like in cricket, for example, if a batsman is good in batting, that doesn't mean that he'll be good in captaincy. The roots of halo effect also can be found in the ancient human beings, where we somehow surround ourselves or just attracted to the most powerful and beautiful people, because that will allow us to become survival and then reproduce. That's what aligning ourselves to in that area, that era of ancient generation. But we are not living in that power, physical power old generation, but still that halo effect is influencing us. So in the modern world, the scenario has changed. But nowadays, we emulate or we try to follow the celebrities, the players, the pop singers and all these people into a different level that you are going to even die for them. That's how the adoration or admirability is happening in the current era. Once mere entertainers, like previously there were singers, there were players, a lot of people was there. Once mere that entertainers has become like a role model, the icon, and even somehow be extrapolated to God or something like that. Even the advent of social media has been exasperated that one, and it become too much influential now, like that celebrity adoration. We try to follow some people telling that they are the perfect epitome of human beings and all, and we think that they are perfect on everything. We just want to be by them, become like them. So in that relentless pursuit of idealization, we often forget that they are just a craft of pixels. They have been created like that. They are not maternal figures. They are not perfect. Actually, this halo effect is triggered by our inherent feeling of being empty and urge for validation. And we are not going to get that thing fulfilled by this halo effect. So we stay empty by this halo effect. Second one is proportionality bias. Ever found in something like a conspiracy theory which give you perfect explanation of a perplexing event? Then welcome to proportionality bias. That is something like our brain's ability or brain's shortcut to make meaning out of the things what we are not able to understand. For ancient human being, that allow him to understand and focus on the important thing instead of always being curious on something. That sort of thing. But nowadays, that is actually not helping us. It's something make us deceived or being fell into the conspiracies and such narratives. And on examination, proportionality bias is something like a combination of confirmation bias and frequency bias. Confirmation bias is something like we just want to be confirmed or being consistent with our earlier narrative, and we want to be confirmed with the society, how they are thinking. So if the society is telling something and they are telling it multiple times, like a frequency bias, you are getting that frequently, then that becomes a combination of proportionality bias, and we consider that as a conspiracy theory, an explanation of something which we don't understand, and then we make a meaning out of it and we stay with it. Our fixation to individual achievement actually blinds us to the collective meaning of the things. So here the challenge with proportionality bias is not to understanding the patterns or meanings out of it, but just to understand that we are the architects of our reality. If we somehow miss to get that point, if we are getting that point, we can overcome the proportionality bias. Third one is sunk cost fallacy. The classic case is something like you end up on a bad bed and you are doubling down on that, making sure that some miracle turnaround will happen. Or put it simply, sunk cost, or an economics perspective, that is the investment you already spent. So while deciding whether to stay or leave, that sunk cost should not be considered. That's the idea. But here, if you consider something like in a relationship or in a business, when we try to make a decision whether to stay or leave, we usually think about how much we have spent so far in this relationship, how much we have invested on this business. That actually come to us and blind us then to stay there, persist there instead of quitting. That's what sunk cost fallacy. So in a world where appearance matter, we try to project our image in such a way that we are confident and competent in ourselves. We want others to believe the fairy tale version of ourselves, or even at least we want ourselves to believe that. So by staying with the sunk cost fallacy, which become a sensible choice, not because that is the sensible one, instead it actually support that fairy tale hero version of ourselves, and it tried to maintain that, okay, we are right, we are always right, and we are the hero. That make us put it in the sunk cost fallacy. If you try to just understand it, what is happening, then only you can get out of the sunk cost fallacy. Otherwise, you will be in the illusion of your own narratives. A recent study by University of Virginia found that when people are put in forward with a problem, they try to understand that there is something missing to solve this problem. They are not thinking that something inside this has to be removed, or unnecessary inside the what is being given has to be removed. In principle, people think that to solve a puzzle, we are missing something. That's what we have, the sunk cost subtractive thinking. When we going through navigating the life challenges, always think that it is not about adding something. It is more important is to let go of something which is not serving us. That is more important than adding something. Third one is zero sum bias. So have you ever felt that somebody else's gain has reduced your worth or diminishes your worth? Then welcome to zero-sum bias. Zero-sum bias, it essentially means that someone else's gain is making you going to make you loss. This actually comes from the ancient age also, where we have a lot of competition in the scarcity scenario for food, meats and other things. But in the new era where we have everything abundant, that still old thinking is actually putting us in trouble. So that's what zero-sum bias is putting us. Financial stress also exasperated to such zero-sum bias actually. So we somehow see our socio-economical status as most important in the society. Also, we think that the main thinking behind zero-sum bias is that there is something finite only. If they get it, I'm not going to get it. Something like that. So that change in the mindset from scarcity to abundant mindset, and considering that you are unique in your own perspective, nobody can be same like you. Such thinking will make you get escape from the zero-sum bias. Fifth one is a survivorship bias. It is something like a distorted understanding of success and failure. We somehow try to make judgment on success very fast and try to ignore the failures or the countless failures that is there in the background. For one example is that during World War time, the military was trying to investigate the fighter jets being attacked, and they were investigating how the returned plane, where they got shot and how it affected and all. And because of this survivorship bias, actually, they completely ignore the flights which never returned, because those are the fighter jets which actually is being hit by the military or the being shot down. So to understand that only we can overcome. But because of this survivorship bias, we try to just ignore such things and only take the important thing which is important for our survival. This happens in the life and work scenario in all places. Mainly the survivorship bias, it's actually because of our misunderstanding about the cause and effect. So the best way to overcome is to understand the visible and invisible success as well as failure. That way you can overcome the survivorship bias. Sixth one is recency illusion. Simply put, that is something new is actually threatening to us. This is also coming back from ancient when they're trying to understand the things. But nowadays, even we see like people have been threatened by the gas stove to internet to artificial intelligence now. So we are threatening every time with the new things. And to understand that, we actually try to create such recency illusion and we try to stay inside it with our own biases. Even this bias is actually affecting our engagement in the social, for example, in YouTube and all. If you see something new, like something curious, or that's what all the psychology and all, even myself or any other YouTuber, they're trying to catch our attention using such scenarios. Even the news media, they use headlines in such a way that it's all recent. It's not something old. That refreshing new recency illusion create you the threat in you that makes you to just look at the news or stay with the news and always wait for the news. And in the effective executive, Peter Drucker has famously, management expert, fitly told that people always in the work scenario, people always try to just get more attention to the urgent task, because when it become urgent, when it become immediate, that becomes like a recency illusion where that become a threat. Instead, we should think about what truly matters, not something like maybe simple thing as doing an email, but try to think that what is the difference impact of this particular task and this particular task, how it impact overall, what it truly matters. Maybe an email, you send it now, it may be an urgent task, but sending that, only you will get a response after 1 week, or the impact of it doesn't matter much. It is just an information only. Then it's better you try to check, do some other task. It doesn't mean that something is urgent is always important. So let us be mindful in the world of timelessness and be connected. That way we can overcome the recency illusion. Seventh one is overconfidence bias. It's something related to like our misestimation of our aspirational confidence and the potential confidence what we have. It's actually affecting us, something like people think that they are capable of doing more and the actual potential is not going to be like that. Like for example, the Elizabeth Holmes of Theranos and all, she tried to become the next Steve Jobs, but she became so overconfident that she put herself in trouble because of her fraud and such things and all. And studies have told that Dunning-Kruger effect, where people with little expertise has think that they become expert on something. Yet overconfidence bias is not something individual. It's actually a collective community as well. It is there in the crime as well as in the media scenarios as well. By acknowledging our limitation and be graceful with our limitations and our capabilities, that way you can become more be stable or more realistic in our capacities and capabilities. That way you can overcome the overconfidence bias. The eighth one is illusionary truth effect. It is actually opposite of recency illusion. I'll tell you, like for example, during a child, familiarity means reliability. It's not a threat. That's our thinking. So in another way, illusionary truth is that something which is getting repeated or something which you are seeing everywhere, that is actually going to be the right thing, even though it is not the right thing. Something getting repeated over and over, that's what even politicians use, a lot of people use. Like, you get repeated and repeated and repeated, you feel that, okay, that is truth. So repetition is actually a tool before the printing press and all. Actually, repetition was a tool used by religious people and all these people to just memorize these religious scripts and all. Later on, those people who memorized those things by repetition was actually being used to just convert that into printable versions and all. Also, illusionary truth is not something about external information. It's also about the stories we tell ourselves that create the narrative and identities of ourselves. So it's more important than that. As we navigate through, the true understanding is to understand the power of repetition, or if you try to understand, okay, there is such a thing where repetition can create you the bias, that understanding will help us to overcome the illusionary truth effect. Ninth one is confirmation bias. Simply put, that is something like we try to be biased on something, or a new information is coming, we try to bias towards to go to a decision where it just stay with our pre-existing beliefs. So we will not try to contradict it. We try to stay with that pre-existing belief, even though our pre-existing belief is wrong. Like suppose you try to favor a political campaign, or you favor like a world is going to end or something. Later on, the world did not end, but still you stay with your decision because of this confirmation bias, because your brain favor to stay consistent and reliable with your pre-existent belief. That's what confirmation bias. But actually, without confirmation bias, we will be living in a world of uncertainty. So this confirmation bias is actually helping us to cool down or be sensible in the world around us. So we try to make meaning of the things we already understand, and we try to live with it, even though it is right or wrong. But the solution is to understand that there is such a confirmation bias. So whenever there is a decision to be made on some opinion to be made, always think that there is such a bias which can influence your thinking. Such understanding will help you to overcome such confirmation bias. Tenth one is declinism. Simply put, that's our thinking that everything is getting worse and worse and worse. Each generation think that their life, their moral values, their spirituality, everything around us, even the climate crisis, everything, it is all steeping down. Nothing is growing up. That's something like a fading effect bias or a negativity bias. That's what, in effect, declinism means. People think that each generation things are getting bad. It's not getting better. Embracing such declinism actually will influence our behaviors and also the way we just respond to some life situations and all. So that's important. Facing with life uncertainty, it's better to understand there is such a bias called declinism which will affect our thinking, and try to just face it with optimism. That's what the solution is. 11th one, IKEA effect, the final one. IKEA effect, simply put, it is we try to overvalue something which we created ourselves. Like suppose I assemble this microphone, then I will value more than it has been assembled by the manufacturer. That's what IKEA, they were doing. They tried to give the disassembled one and people assemble it. That's what it is called, IKEA effect and all. We tried to put more value. It's not ending there on a furniture. It is going to be there in the business, even in your child, because you will have such a bias, even though it is far extrapolation. But I'm telling you, we try to put on something which we have hands on. Even it is a painting or a business or a writing, even the email you create, everything, we try to overvalue something which we put our hands on. That's what IKEA effect is. So IKEA effect is actually happening because of our sense to become purposeful and our innate desire to contribute something. So there is something like a sense of ownership and contribution that is affecting us. Especially when you are making a decision on some investment or something which you have hands on, always remember there is going to be an IKEA effect in place happening there. So just understand that bias, and that way you can make a more sensible decision. So that's the end of the book. Until we come across with the next book, bye for now.